number 15. Appreciate you being here with us in the house of God this morning. And we're going to read just one verse of scripture and have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Luke chapter number 15. And of course, you know the story here, very familiar by now. And we'll pick up verse number 28 here. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 28. Notice the Bible says, talking about the elder brother, that he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, came his father out and entreated him. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'll bless the reading of thy word, speak to our hearts, and may thy will be done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I won't keep you long this morning, but I do want to give you what God has laid upon our heart. And I pray that the Lord would speak to us and through us. And may God use this message to save the lost and to reclaim the backslid this morning. Because when we come to this text here, of course, we know that the younger son was a worldly son. And we know that the elder son is known to be a working son here. And the younger son in this text finds forgiveness, while the elder son only finds bitterness. He only becomes more bitter. And you know, if a person doesn't get right with God, that's exactly what happened. They grow harder as the years go on and as they get older. In fact, it is harder to reach somebody up in years, not impossible, but it is harder to reach somebody up in years than it is someone young and tender because their heart is still tender. And I would say this morning that if you're here and you're lost, you need to mark this, that if the Holy Ghost deals with you, do not say no to the Spirit of God. For every time you tell the Lord no, it gets a little bit easier to say no and a little bit harder to say yes. Well, when we come to this text here, we know that in verse number 25 that this elder son is laboring as he's been out in the field. He is listening as he comes in verse 25 and hears music and sees dancing. And then he's leading as he calls a servant together and says, "What meaneth this?" And the servant begins to tell him, and he begins to learn what these things, this celebration of Mia. And when we come here to verse number 28, he is upset. He is angry, the Bible says. What he learns, it creates a problem in his heart. He does not like what he hears, and he does not like what is happening here. He hears about the father's coming to the son. In verse 27, how that he ran and fell upon his neck. He hears about the father's compassion. And as he says, put a robe on his finger, and put her on his back, and a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet, and kill the fatted calf, and let's eat and be merry. He doesn't like what is taking place, the celebration that is happening here. And so he's upset about that. And so the Bible says that he was angry. Notice this. And he would not go in. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't participate. This elder brother would not get in on the food. He wouldn't get in on the fellowship. He wouldn't get in all the friends that had gathered around. And most of all, he wouldn't get in on what the father wanted to do. I mean, you got to remember, this celebration is more about the father than what it is the son. Even though we're glad the son came home, but it is the father that ordered the celebration. It is the father that wants to celebrate the homecoming. The son could not call for that celebration. The son could not call for the robe or the ring or the shoes or the fatted calf. But it is the father that calls everyone together. The reason the servants are merry is because if it pleases the father, then it pleases them. And you know, that's the way it is with saved people, that if something pleases God, then it ought to please us. Amen? Well, it tells us where this boy is at. He would not go in. And so where do we find him in verse 28? He is standing on the outside and he's looking in. And I want to preach a few minutes on that subject this morning, on standing on the outside and looking in. You say, why? Because there's a lot of people just like this prodigal son. They're on the outside. They may be at the Father's house, and they may be around the things of God. But friend, they're on the outside looking in. This boy would not go in. He would not participate. He won't get in on the salvation of this son. You know, there's a lot of people, they grow up in church, and they go to church, but they're not going to get in on salvation. There's people going to die and go to hell from a church pew, just like a bar barstool. Now, just because you go to a good church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Can I get a witness right there? I'm telling you this morning, you got to be washed in the blood. You got to be born again. You got to be birthed in the family of God. You got to have a resurrection. Amen. You're still dead in your trespasses and sin. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Amen. You got to be saved like everybody else. You say, well, Mama's saved and Daddy's saved. Yeah, but are you saved? Because if you're not saved, everybody else is in, friend. They're in the family of God. They're in the things of God. Everybody else is in, but you're not in. You're on the outside. Amen? You need to get in the family. You need to get washed in the blood. You need to get born again. This needs to become a reality to you. It needs to be more than just a social gathering. It needs to be more than just a fellowship. I'm talking about there. It needs to be real between you and God. You need to get in. He wouldn't get in because he wasn't saved. This boy, he didn't know anything about the Father, even though he had experienced the Father's love and he had experienced the Father's mercy. He was dead to every bit of it. Can you imagine that, growing up your whole life on the farm with this father and knowing that the Father expresses His love, He expresses His mercy, He expresses His goodness. He had been good to this boy, but this boy was dead to every bit of that. You say, well, now, preacher, I just don't know if that's possible. Well, it's very possible, because I'm going to tell you, there's people in church. Listen, the Lord loves them. Jesus died for them. God has been good to them, and God has blessed them, and God has been merciful to them, but they're dead in their trespasses and sin, and so they're dead to the love of God. They're dead to the mercy of God. They're dead to the goodness of God. I mean, why do you think lost members are so mean? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's hard to be something that you're not. Now, I'm telling you, that's the truth. The hardest person you'll ever pastor is a goat trying to be a sheep. Because they're always rebelling against everything. I mean, rebellion comes in different forms. It's not always a biker on a Harley. Can I get an amen? It's not always a harlot dressed in leather. Sometimes a rebel is somebody toting a King James Bible coming to church every day, every week, but they don't like what's going on, and they can't wait to get out. They can't wait to get away. They don't like the preaching. They don't like the man of God telling it like it is. They get tired of all the standards. They get tired of that, hearing about the King James Bible. They don't understand why you can't just beat the music up a little bit and why you can't change things. They're just tired of everybody saying old-timey and old-fashioned, and they just don't like any of that, and they're looking for an exit ramp. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them. When they leave, they'll blame the preacher, they'll blame the church, they'll blame everybody. But I'll tell you, the real problem is they never got in, friend. They didn't backslide, they never slid forward. Amen. I'm telling you, it may not be popular, but it is still right. Amen. And I pray God shake somebody up this morning and let you realize you need to be men more than just being in the church. You need to get in the family of God. Hallelujah. I've seen God save church members who never drank, smoked, chewed, or ran with those who do. But I'll tell you, when they got saved, there was as much of a dramatic change in their life as there was in some pothead that got saved. You know why? Because it starts on the inside. Amen? And I'm telling you, they went from having just fear to having peace. They went from being just a rebel, amen, to being meek in spirit. That's what God can do for a person. And they went from not loving the things of God to loving the things of God. Amen? He wouldn't get in on salvation. He wouldn't get in on the saints. Now think about this. He would not even call this boy his brother. He said, "This thy son." He didn't acknowledge him. And people that are lost, there's a misconnection. They can't get in with the saints. I mean, have you ever seen people that, they just have problems everywhere they go, to every church they join, and they create trouble, and they can't get along with nobody, and they're hard to get along with. And I mean, you know, it's just a matter of time. They've joined every church in the county, and it's just a matter of time. They'll go from here, there, and yonder, and they find something wrong everywhere they go. And I know places are not perfect, but I'm telling you something. What's wrong with a lot of that crowd? They just lost is what's wrong with them. And I realize people will leave churches for different reasons. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about the fact that some people, you know, that's their reputation. They're not in. They're on the outside. He wasn't getting on the service. I mean, these people are having a party. They're celebrating, but not this boy. He's mad about the celebration. You know, there's some people, they don't like worship. They don't like it when it gets out of the banks. They don't like it when people shout. They just want to go have a funeral service and just go through the format and just have a good 35-minute service and a pat on the head and then go out the door and go back to their life. But I tell you, the least bit somebody gets excited, the least bit somebody gets in. I'm going to tell you, the Father likes worship. The Father likes a celebration. And if it pleases the Father, it pleases us. Hallelujah. Amen. Down through the years, you've seen people come and go. I've had people say to me, "Now, preacher, we like the singing and we like some of the preaching." That's what they have. People said that. I'm not exaggerating. It's funny. It wasn't funny at the moment, I can tell you that much. And some say, and you can always tell when they're on the outside looking in. Because they'll say this, they'll say, now you know, we like it, but we don't like all that hollering. Well, that's called shouting in the Bible. When you're saved, it's shouting. You holler at a football game. Funny thing, don't bother them when they go down to the stadium. They can holler at the, they can sit right next to somebody and they can spill beer and popcorn on them and they can holler down at the football stadium. They can holler down at the, you know, at the ball court, anywhere you want to talk about, and it doesn't make them nervous one bit. But something about going to church and somebody getting a little bit excited about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it makes them nervous when somebody gets excited about being passed from death unto life. I'm going to tell you something. If the world can holler about a pigskin, we ought to be able to holler about being poor. Out of the pit of hell. Amen. I'm telling you, freedom this morning, life's too quiet enough. And I'm not going to let somebody take away my shout. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, praise God. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood. It may not suit everybody's fancy, but I'm glad, thank God, I got in and I don't plan to get out. Hallelujah. That's right. And so you got a pretty church. You got a nice choir. If you just wouldn't do all that shouting. It messes everything. Don't mess everything. No, I'm going to tell you something. It fires things up when you're saved. When you're on the inside, amen, I'm telling you, the better the celebration, it makes me just want to go back another dose, amen. But I'm telling you, there's some people they don't like. They're on the outside looking in. Now, everybody don't have to act like me. And I don't have to act like you, but I'll tell you, don't knock it till you tried it. Can I get an amen right there? And if you take a closer look at verse 28, you notice his anger. The Bible said he was angry. He had no good reason to be angry. Then you notice his actions. He would not go in. You notice his authority, the Father. The Father comes out. Think about the compassion of this Father. He not only accepted this boy that had been away, that had returned, but now he's accepting a boy that has never left. But won't come in. He goes to, you know, God is so compassionate to come to where we are. I want to tell you this morning, he said, "Preacher, I'm away from God and I don't know if God would even accept me." The Father will take you just as you are. I don't care how sorry and low down we've been in this life. The mercy and the compassion of God, the mercies of God, they're new every morning. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. His love is unconditional. You say, "But I've been a wicked wretch." You're not the first one. Amen. And I'll tell you, God loves us. He'll save you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. You can get right with God. You might be here and say, "Well, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. I've been coming to this church for years and I've been on the outside the whole time." Well, you shouldn't go another service. You ought to get in, friends. You ought to get in and get saved. You ought to get in on the worship. You ought to get in and get right with God. You know what happened last Sunday night when people started confessing their sins? And I'm not talking about airing out dirty laundry, but I'm talking about they just confessed some sins publicly, and then the choir sang, and what happened? The dam broke, and heaven. You know why that happened? Because I'm going to tell you something. It pleased God when His children repent. Now, I'm telling you this morning, we're wasting our time coming to church, trying to sing and work the service up. And we don't, you know, we don't do that here, but we're wasting our time trying to have a good worship service when we won't deal with the sin that's in our life. And when there's something in our life that we need to get right with God, we need to make it right. For what? That was a testimony. That when people come clean with God, His presence People say, why is that service tight? Why is it always like that? I'm going to tell you why it is. People don't live as clean as they used to live. A lot of sweeping under the rug nowadays. That's the society we live in. People don't come honest. And, you know, there was a time even lost people had more character, and a lot of people say they're saved nowadays. Because their word was their bond, but it's not true as much in every case. I'm not saying everybody's that way, but a lot of people now have learned how to just do something and just go on and never really come clean and say, well, if this or if that. No, that's not a confession. I mean, a confession is when you just say, I'm guilty as charged and I want to get right and I want to make it right. I've not been what I should be and I've not been pleasing to whoever or whatever, but I want to make it right. That takes character. It takes honesty. I'm telling you, God blesses that. He blessed it the other night. I really believe this across America, if we could get people to just get, you know, in a lot of places, and you know I'm not knocking it. I'm 1,000% for getting excited and worshiping God. And I tell you, I've been places where they learned how to shout, but they forgot how to repent. Amen? And it takes both is what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to get to give one up for the other, but if you don't repent, there won't be no worship. Amen? Amen. This boy was not in on what was happening by his own choice. If I leave or you leave this morning not right with God, it's my fault. The Father has come to you just like He came to this boy. And I notice His appeal. Look what the Bible said in verse 28. And He entreated him. What does that mean? That means to beg, to plead. Can you see the picture? This boy's standing on the outside because he's mad. Because he don't like what's going on. And God in mercy and compassion, that father could have said, you know, I've been good to that boy. If that boy wants to stand out there and be ungrateful, he can stand out there till the cows come home. But no, he doesn't do that. The father goes out. He puts the effort. He comes to that boy and he begs him. He pleads him. Now, son, come on in. You know, it's what God does every Sunday. He stops by our pew, our heart's door. And he speaks to us. He said, now, you know you're not right. You know you're not saved. You need to get saved. You know you're backslid. Why don't you come get right? I've been good to you. And you need, this is just going to make your life better. You know, God, that's the mercy of God, isn't it? Well, God could let every one of us die in our sleep if He wanted to and say, what, you ungrateful backslid child. Fold your arms and go to church and sit on your backside and you're upset because you don't like what's going on and you're just sitting. I've been good to you. I let you live another day, another week in my world, and I let you earn a paycheck and I let you be born in America and I let you have a King James Bible and I let you. I mean, God could just say, you know, if that's how you're going to be, then fine. But He doesn't do that, does He? He's so merciful. Mercy runs out eventually. If He comes to your heart and He deals with you this morning, you need to forget about me. You need to forget about everybody in this church. And you need to say, you know what? I need to get right with God. Because I'm on the outside. I watched what God did Sunday night, but I couldn't get in on it. I need to get in. You see, this boy, I see his appeal. Now, there's the question. I'm going to give you these thoughts and be done. What is wrong with this boy, this elder son? Why does he refuse to stay on the outside when he could just like walking down this aisle, he could just walk in that door and get in on everything that was happening? What is wrong with that boy? I'll give you three thoughts. Number one, he's on the outside because of what's missing in his life. If you go back and study the text, we won't go through all of it this morning, relationships are missing in his life. No communication with the father, no communication with the brother. Relationships are missing in his life. He doesn't know the fathers. I mean, he doesn't even know his own. He doesn't anywhere claim ownership to the father or to his brother. He doesn't claim any of that. He's on the outside. He's missing it. That's what's missing. I'm going to tell you, there's a mention already. I want to mention it one more time. There's people probably sitting here this morning. You're religious, but you're lost. You've never been saved. And so, yeah, you go to a good church. Yes, you have the right kind of Bible. Yes, you hear leather lung preaching, but you're not in, friend. Amen? And just being around, it's not going to get you to heaven is what I'm trying to say. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Respect is missing in his life. You just can read it later. Look how he talks to his father. You can tell a lot about people by how they treat the authorities that's in their life. You watch how people treat their parents. And I'm not saying this because it's me. I'm just telling you it's the fact. You watch how they treat a pastor. I'm not talking about worship. I'm talking about respect. You know, as a pastor, I want to respect you this morning. Every man, every woman, every child here, I want to give you the same respect. But when you're saved, God puts something in your heart to want to respect people, doesn't it? And if you're disrespectful, and we have been at times, the Holy Spirit will deal with you about that, won't He? But when you're not saved, He doesn't deal with you. And that's how people can mistreat a church or mistreat a deacon or mistreat a Sunday school teacher and just go on like into that. They're not saved. It doesn't bother their conscience. But if you're born again, take the Holy Spirit will teach you. Respect is missing in his life. Repentance is missing in his life. You don't read anywhere where this boy ever says he's sorry. You don't read anywhere where he ever says, I've done wrong. No, in fact, he said, I've never trusted thy commandment at any time. Now, that's a big statement, amen? I don't think I could ever say I've been a perfect son or a perfect boy, or I can't say, I've never messed up. I've always obeyed. That's how he felt. That's how the Pharisees felt. These are things missing in his life. You know, let me stop and say this. The people who never say they're sorry, never repent, never own their sin, you can't help those people. You can't help them. That's so sad, isn't it? I've been sitting with people and talking, and within 5 minutes, I knew this counseling session's over. I listen to them. I pray with them. The problem is they don't own nothing. They always put the blame on somebody else. You know, Adam tried that. Eve tried that. It didn't work for them, and it's not going to work for us neither. You can't help people that's always right. You can't help people that never say they're sorry. You can't help people that never... The problem with that is this. They never see themselves. You know, it takes the Holy Ghost to show us who we are. And if you don't ever see yourself, that's how you get saved. You see yourself a sinner. You got sin in your life. You got to own up to it. You got to say, you know, it's not everybody else. It's me. That's how we get help. And so that's what was missing. Rejoicing is missing. It's like, this boy's happy about nothing. And I'll tell you, the most miserable people I've ever met are not necessarily lost people, but they're backslid people that just won't get right with God. They're so miserable. They're in a bad mood to everybody at work, everybody at home, and a lot of times people even at church. I hope I'm not killing it, but I just got to preach this morning, because there are people sitting here this morning. You know I'm preaching to you, and I'm not preaching to you to be mean. I really want you to get some help from God. That's the only reason I preach to you like this. I'd want somebody to tell me the truth. I'm not worried about the number on the board. I'm not worried about the offering. I'm not worried about a pat on the back. I'll tell you what, we're winding this thing out. We're coming to the end of this. You know, the only thing on my agenda this morning is that everybody, wouldn't it be great if everybody in this building got right with God this morning? Everybody. Wouldn't it be great if everybody that was lost got saved? And everybody was backslid, got on this altar and wept their way to God and told God they're really sorry and owned their sin and said, you know what, I'm so sorry for how I've treated you, Lord, and how I've treated maybe a family member, how I've treated somebody else. And I mean, wouldn't that be great if everybody got right with God? And everybody could this morning. You got to take the mask off. He wouldn't go in. I've watched people in church. The Spirit of God put them under conviction, saved and lost. And I've seen them tremble. I've seen them grab the back of that pew. I've seen them shuffle their feet, get up and go out of the service during invitation. Anything they could do. Hold on for dear life just to get through that service. You know what they were saying? Lord, I don't care. I'm not going in. I tell you, I want to be in, don't you? Because of what was missing in his life, because what was manifested in his life. If you look at verse 29, look, he's driven by wrath. He's angry. He's driven by works. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Being a part of the Father's family is not about serving. It's about relationship. It's about loving. You know, when you love your spouse, you love your children, you love your parents, and when you love people, you don't see it as serving. You see it as an enjoyment, don't you? In one sense, you say, well, you serve as pastor. Yeah, but I love the congregation. It's not service to me. And it's not service when it comes to God. I know we serve the Lord, but when you love Him, I'm not counting the years. Lo, these many years. I'm not keeping a record. But when you're lost, you got to keep a record of everything. Well, I've done this and I've done that. Doesn't that sound like the Pharisee when he went in the temple? He had a list. But I'm telling you something, when it's about love, you don't need the list. I'm not keeping up. We're not keeping a tally, because the longer I serve Him, the songwriter said, the sweeter He grows. I tell you, living for God's the best thing. I've not done a good job at it, but I'm going to tell you, it is the best life you could ever know. I don't need to keep a record. He's got a record this morning. I'm just glad the record holds, and I'm on the record books is all I'm proud about, thanking God for. Amen. I'm saying this morning, what was manifested, He's driven by works. He's driven by wrath. He's angry. He's driven by worth. Look what He said. Neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. This boy thought too well of himself. You can't get right with God thinking well of yourself. You know, you got to come to the place in life where you realize I'm nothing and He's everything and I need Him. He's driven by want. He told him, he said, thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry. He was all about what he could get, not what he could give. When you're on the outside, that's the way it is. You know, you go to church and it's all about what you can get out of it, not what you can give. You know, it's like, well, did you get anything out of the singing? Some people say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that. I didn't get nothing out of that preaching. I lie. You know that church there. I'm not saying it's not a good church, but I tell you, there's just some people down there. I just don't get them. You're all about getting and not giving. We go to church to be something, not get something. Be a blessing. Shake everybody's hand and be a blessing. Smile at everybody and be a blessing. Sing them songs and be a blessing. And then you can't outgive God, because that's what it is. I mean, hey, you're just glad you're in. Is that right? You know, I don't have to, the celebration doesn't have to be about me. I'm just glad the Father threw a party and He let me get in on it. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm just glad there's church. I'm just glad we got a place on the side of the road. I'm telling you, it don't have to be about me. I don't care who's singing. I don't care who's preaching. I'm just glad I'm in, friend. Amen? Don't you thank God you're in? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about being in a pew neither. I'm talking about I'm in. Hallelujah. I'm all the way in. Are you all the way in this morning? I'm telling you, when you're in, praise God, it makes the difference. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I'm not on the outside. I'm glad I'm not fishing this morning. Boy, I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be on a lake this morning. I mean, they can have that. If you gave me a $95,000 bass boat and all the rods and reels that came with it and said, I'll put you in the best hole, you can catch the best fish, I said, sink the boat and throw the rods in. They can have it all, friend. That's not what I'm into. Amen? Yes, I'll put you in the best deer stand, you'll kill the biggest buck. I'm telling you, nothing wrong with that stuff, but I'll tell you, when it's on Sunday, no, you can have every bit of it, friend. I don't want the ball field this morning. I don't want to be somewhere else. I'm telling you, a long time ago, thank God I went to Calvary and I got in the family of God. And hallelujah, I want to be in, praise God. Somebody come by and said, hey, you know, you don't have to go to church. I'm not having to. We're not here because we have to. I'm preaching past 12 o'clock, not because I have to, I want to, amen. And you want me to right now. You're thrilled that it's 12:05 and I haven't even landed a plane right now. Amen? I know some of you are not thrilled. You know why? Because you're on the outside. I'm telling you, if you ever get in, this will be the main thing. I'm telling you, I'd rather be here as anywhere else. I'm talking about being in, praise God. Well, I want to find me a church where they have an early service and we're done by 10 o'clock. Well, there's plenty of them. Not me. I want to find me a place where when they crank up the choir, you feel a breeze from another world sweep over your soul. And you know, somebody more bigger than more real than any of us has just passed by. That's who I'm looking for. Isn't that who you're looking for this morning? I didn't come to see you and you didn't come to see me. I'm glad we're seeing each other. But we all came this morning hoping that the high winds of heaven would pass by over here in Rossville, Georgia, and pass by on Tally Avenue. I'm telling you, thank God, when the winds of heaven blow, I want to be where it's at. I'm telling you, the Father's going to go to church. I want to be in. I don't want to be on the outside. I don't want somebody to say, man, you should have been there. No, I don't want to be, hey, I don't want to be outside smoking a cigarette. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Say, what's that got to do with the sermon? Absolutely nothing. It just come across my mind. You know, you shouldn't say everything comes across your mind. I don't want to be outside roaming the premises. I'm not talking about security when I say that neither. I don't want to be outside, standing outside, just fellowshipping when you could be in. I want to get in. I thank God for online for people that are sick, for people that can't be here. And we got people like that, and I'm glad they can watch the services. I really am thankful for that, and I mean that this morning. But I don't want to be at the house in my pajamas, right, drinking coffee, watching church. I want to be in, don't you? I tell you, I want to get in. This boy is on the outside because of what was manifested in his life. You know, it tells a lot about people, don't it? And then finally, he was on the outside looking in because of what was more important in his life. You see, labor was more important to him than love. Getting was more important than giving. Friends were more important than family. You know, he makes a terrible statement there, and I thought about preaching on it, but I don't think I probably won't. But there's a great sermon in there, I think. He said, you never gave me a kid to make merry with my friends. Now think about this. This is another sermon, but you got an opportunity to walk in the door and have a feast with your father because your son has come home. And you would rather be with your friends as to be with your so-called family. You know, I have a problem with people that say they're saved. And I know we can backslide. I know that. But I have a problem with people that say they're saved. And they have a greater desire to be hanging with them out there and partying with them than being with God's people. You know, people, you can see people, they never smile while they're in church. They're always kind of got that dreaded look on their face. And then they finally get the way. They finally find a way to exit. And they break away. They're like that man in Mark chapter 5, always breaking those chains. They finally break those chains and they get out there in the world. And all of a sudden, they're like a totally different person. Well, they are. They always were. They look so happy. They're smiling. That's not the way saved people are. There's enough people sitting here in this building this morning, and I wouldn't, but if I called on them to testify, they could testify to what I'm about to tell you. That they got born again, and they lived for God, and then they got out there in this world. And they'll tell you this very same thing, that when they got out there, they were never happy. They were always miserable. You know why? Because they're born again. And when they got out there, they were miserable. If you're truly born again and you get outside, you get out in this world, you'll never find no peace, you'll never find no pleasure, no lasting pleasure in this world. But if I tell you, listen, if you can walk away from this and you can go out there and you can live it up and you can party it up and you can do all those things and you can never be wrong about the things you're doing and it's always the church and it's always what went on there and you got a negative attitude and spirit about the house of God, but you love it out there. Listen to me, and I love you. I want to tell you this because I love you. I'm not being mean. You've never been saved. You've never been saved. If I was to get out of church, I know God would whip me. Brother Laddie, you know the Lord would whip you, don't you? I know that because even while I've been in, He's whipped me. I could take you to some times in my life when the Lord whipped me He told me. Now this happened because you did this. I'm whipping you because of this right here. I remember, I won't say it, but I'll just say this. When God saves you and you backslide, He'll get your attention. He will get your attention. I'm afraid there's a lot of people. They live out there half in, half out, and it doesn't mean it. This means nothing to them. They can take it or leave it. I worry about your soul. I'm not trying to cast doubt on your salvation experience. I'm not your judge, but I worry about your soul. Because saying so don't make it so. But if you're truly born again, I don't have to try to convince you you're saved. You already know the Holy Spirit's inside you. And there's things I can just think sometimes that cross my mind. I don't do right all the time. I want to. But I'm telling you, every day of my life, I have to say, Lord, please forgive me. But I tell you, things can cross my mind. The Holy Spirit say, don't dwell on that. Let that go. And you know that's not right thinking. You have those thoughts, don't you? I don't like to talk about it, but it's true. Something crossed my mind. I mean, sometimes it'll be something terrible. But the Holy Spirit is always there to tell you. I'd be standing in a grocery store fixing to pay for something. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will say, don't turn around. You turn around, there's something you don't need to see right there. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Now, I know there's bad magazines. Sometimes I'll be in a grocery store and my mind will be on something. I'll turn around and I'll see one. And right then the Holy Spirit will say, look away. Don't you look at that. You say, that's a conscience. Yeah, it's a God conscience. It's a God conscience. Holy Spirit will remind you. And don't you get in a hurry today. Read your Bible and pray. You got a lot going on, but you got to do that first. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, I could go back and tell you about when I got saved, but I don't have to go all the way back to that day. There's not anything wrong with that. But I don't have to go back 35 years ago and tell you about the day I got saved to convince myself that I'm saved. There's enough happened this morning since I rolled out of the bed. He's real enough today. That's why, how old are you?
Eight.
How old was you when you got saved? You got saved in this past year, hadn't you?
Yes, sir.
When you're 80, you might not remember every detail about the day you got saved. But I tell you how you'll know you're saved when you're 80. Because the Lord will still be real to you on that day. See, there's now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know how I know I'm saved and not going to hell? Because I never think about going to hell. Why don't you think about going to hell? Because I'm not going in that direction. That got changed a long time ago. I'm not saying people can't have doubts. And I understand if you don't get in your Bible, if you don't read your Bible, you're going to have some doubts. Amen. The devil's going to come and he's going to say, well, what if this and what if that? Do you know what? The Holy Spirit has never come to me one day and questioned my salvation. Amen. I'm telling you, all he does is tell me when I need to repent. And all he does is tell me what's good in my life. And all he does is give me guidance. And during any day, he's the same way in your life, isn't he? Amen. He don't come to me and say, well, what if you don't remember everything? I don't have to remember everything. He remembers everything. He don't come and say, well, what if you didn't do everything right? I probably didn't, but thank God He did everything right at Calvary. Well, what if you don't remember everything you said? I don't remember everything I said, but I remember everything He said in this book. And I'm going to heaven based on what He did and based on what He said. And hallelujah, praise God, He's real this morning. He's so real. Thank God for yesterdays and can go back and tell the experience, and I think that's wonderful. But I'll tell you, if I never revisit that day again, God is as real enough today. If you put me on trial and said, well, are you sure you're saved? Oh, yeah. I know I'm saved. Well, give me enough evidence for today that you're saved. Well, He's talking to me right now. And if you're saved, He talks to you. This morning, it's only one of two places you are. When it comes to the Father's house, you're either in or you're out. Are you right with God this morning? Are you saved? That's the first thing. If you're not saved, why don't you come get saved? And then number two, you might be here and say, preacher, as far as salvation goes, I'm in. But I'm not. I'm backslid. Well, God's been too good to you to live another day that way.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to be perfect. You can't be. And you cannot be sinless. But you ought to never be backslid. You see, backslid means I've just quit. And I'm not even trying. I'm just not trying. Now, you ought to try. You say, well, I might fail God tomorrow. That's okay. But you need to try. Is that right? My kids growing up, our kids growing up. They'd come and they'd say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I did this and I shouldn't have done it. Or sometimes I'd chastise one of them. And I'd say, you know, that was wrong. They said, Daddy, I know it. I'm sorry. And I won't do that no more. And I'd, you know, when I pulled them up in my arms and said, now Daddy loves you and you've asked forgiveness and I forgive you. When I pulled them up in my arms and they said, I won't do that no more. In my mind, they might do it again and they might not. There's no guarantee, is there? And sometimes they did. And I knew that they might do that again. But I knew they were sincere. I knew they meant it. And because you love them, it doesn't matter. I knew they weren't going to be perfect. I knew tomorrow I might have to whip them again. I knew tomorrow they're going to probably do something. I knew it wasn't the last time that they were going to get in trouble. But what mattered is they repented. And they meant it. And because they meant it, that's all that matters. We'll work on tomorrow when we get to tomorrow. But today, you've done what you needed to do. And that's all that matters. You know it's that way with God. Every day you get up, you try, and you live for God. And Brother Casey, when we fail, you say you're sorry, and you get up the next day, and you do the only thing you can do. You try again. Is that right, church? You just try, and you keep trying. And you say, where's that in the Bible? Just man falls seven times. But he keeps trying. He riseth up again. There's no reason to be backslid on God other than you just choose to be. Why don't you choose to get right this morning as we stand, as he sings?